Good to be with you tonight for your harvest service, the commencement of them. I was just thinking, you know, it can only get better than this. So you've got the worst of it over on the Saturday night, and it'll improve, I'm sure, as the weekend goes on. But it's good to be with you tonight. Good to see so many gathered out on a Saturday evening. I want to thank the Reverend Gray for the invitation to come along and to preach here at the opening harvest service. If you will turn with me, please, in God's Word to Luke chapter 12. It's a familiar parable of the wealthy, foolish farmer. I was brought up on a farm just on the shores of Loch Ney. Usually on the shores of Loch Earn, but I was on the shores of Loch Ney. I was brought up on a farm, and so I know really what way farmers think. And I hope there's no farmers will take offence at anything I say tonight, because just speaking the truth from experience, and that is the reality of it. You can take a man out of the farm, but you can never take the farm out of a man. And even though I've been away from it now for some number of years, there still is that old interest there in the farming. Things have fairly advanced from I was on them, a little 135 tractor. And you got a 185, man, you thought you'd made it in this world. And so they're only like a toy tractor now, 185 Massey Ferguson. They're only like a toy tractor now, something the children will play with whenever you see the big tractors that there is on the fields. But we got the work done, and things were probably a little simpler, and the farming was much more enjoyable than it is nowadays. But we're looking at the wealthy, but the foolish farmer. You say there's not wealthy farmers now. Well, you can debate that in your own time. I'll go away home out of the road. But foolish farmers, well, you have to be sort of a fool to be a farmer. That's just the reality of it. All hours, all sorts of weathers, all sorts of muck. You've got to be sort of foolish to be a farmer. But that's an enjoyable occupation. Luke chapter 12, and I'll read from the verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Man, you'd have thought he'd have been glad. You'd have thought he'd have been glad. He'd a bumper harvest, and you'd have thought he'd have been rejoicing. But here's a farmer. Farmers don't complain. They've been complaining all their lives, and they've been complaining from Scripture times as well. He's had a bumper harvest, and he's complaining. He says, What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And then he comes up with a solution. He says, verse 18, and he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There is his intention. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich or saved toward God. Amen. And we trust that God will add his blessing, as he always does, to the reading of his word. Let's unite our hearts just in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to come now and bless the preaching of his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us throughout this day, for thy goodness to us another time. No God, we thank thee that this evening we're found out in the house of God, and Lord, we're thankful for so many that have gathered in. But O God, we pray now that thou wilt come thyself and tarry amongst us. Lord, that thou would search hearts tonight. Thou would speak to needy hearts. O God, thou alone knowest the heart. And O God, thou art the one who searcheth the heart and trieth the reins. And O God, even tonight we pray that thou wilt come and do that which man can't do. Lord, we can preach with the help of the Spirit. We can preach. But, O God, it's only thee that can search the heart. It's only thee that can bring conviction of sin. And, O God, if there's one unsafe soul, Lord, if there's a backslider tonight, Lord, a careless believer, Lord, speak to their hearts tonight. Lord, if there's one that's running about, laying up treasures onto themselves, treasures in this earth, Lord, if they're not rich toward God, they're not saved, Lord. Speak to their hearts tonight. And, O God, draw them savingly, tenderly and lovingly to the cross of Calvary. I will thank thee for the cross. We thank thee for the provision made there. Harvest time, we thank thee for the provision of the fields. But, oh God, there's no provision like that of the cross. And, oh God, we thank thee that there's salvation for the whosoever will. And, oh God, we pray that there'll be those tonight who will in this congregation. Give help to this preacher afresh. Amen. Undertake for him, we pray. And may Christ be glorified in all things. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One day, John Wesley, great Methodist preacher, was walking down the street when a man who was opposed to his preaching, he straddled the pavement in front of Wesley, saying, "I never get out of the way for a fool." But Wesley, he just stepped off the pavement onto the road, and as he was passing the man, going round the man, he looked at him and he says, "You mightn't, but I always do." On another occasion, there was a red-hot evangelist. He went walking down a busy street in the midst of London. It was years ago, so this man, he dressed up in a morning coat, along one of them long coats, striped trousers on, and he put on one of those top hats. And on the front of the hat, he affixed a notice saying, "A fool for Christ's sake." Now, as he walked down the street, everyone who read the little message on the hat, the little notice, they laughed at him. They scorned him and they mocked him. But as he passed them by, when they turned around to get another look at this religious fool, as they named him, they could see that there was another notice pinned to the back of his hat. Another notice which read, "Whose fool are you?" Let me ask you a question tonight, this harvest time. The harvest is past. The fields is cleared. The crops have been gathered in. The fruit has been picked. It's all safely stored away. This harvest time, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. But whose fool are you? Are you saved? Or are you still outside of Christ? Tonight, as we're on this hilltop, are you still on the mountainside of sin? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, but you're not saved. And you're going down the broad road to a lost eternity. You're going down the path of sin to damnation and destruction. We often sing at harvest services, "All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin." But I wonder tonight, are you gathered in? Are you gathered into Christ tonight? Are you saved? Or are you a lost sheep here? A lost sheep tonight, perishing, dying in your sin. A lost sheep without a shepherd. A lost sheep without a savior. A fool for this world. A fool for hell. A fool for the devil. Not saved. Going down that broad road to a lost eternity. Whose fool are you? This parable, which we have read together here from Luke chapter 12, is commonly known as the parable of the rich fool. We have called him tonight the wealthy, foolish farmer. But it's often known as the parable of the rich fool. Here was a man, he was a farmer. He talks about the fields, the barns, and he talks about the crops. Indeed, this man is a very wealthy farmer. He must have been the last one. For every farmer you meet, he's poor. So this must have been the last wealthy farmer that there was. But that's one thing about this man. He was wealthy, he was prosperous. And here he is, it's harvest time in his fields. And what a summer it has been. What a harvest he has gathered in. My, haven't we had a great harvest this year?
Everything has been cleared away. I can remember times struggling at harvest time to get the last of the crops in. I can remember 1985. And what an awful summer it was, and men struggling to get a few fields of grain, barley and wheat gathered in. Not this summer. What a summer it has been. What a summer it was for this farmer in the Scriptures. All is safely gathered in. But he has no time for God. In the midst of it all, he never wants mansions. He never wants things about God. God calls him a fool. It's not this preacher tonight that calls him a fool. God calls him a fool. And sadly, here's a man, God calls him a fool. Notice what he is. He's a dying fool. And I believe that this man died, and sadly, he died in his sin. And he went to hell. That's the tragedy. He had all of these intentions. Oh, he had a problem. His barns weren't big enough. He had the solution. He's going to pull down the barns and build bigger. He had intentions. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. He had much goods laid up for many years. But I believe that before he got all gathered in, this man died. What a fool. Counting his tomorrows when he didn't even have tonight. There's so many like him. Every one of us have plans, intentions, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do next week. If we get the springtime, what we're going to do. Every one of us has plans for tomorrow, but we may not even have tonight. That's the reality. Not three killed this week on the road. Another young man killed in the County Down rally this morning. First stage of the rally. He never went out to die. He went out to race. News tonight, he's dead. We're all planning what we're going to do tomorrow. We may not even have tonight. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you have not got tonight, where will you be tomorrow? Will it be in heaven with Christ? Or in hell forever without Christ? What a fool. Tonight I want us to consider three things about this wealthy, foolish farmer. Notice the life that he lived. As I said, it was harvest time in this man's fields. The Lord had really blessed him with a bumper harvest. But notice all that he's thinking about. Verses 16 and 17 we read, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" In all his thinking, he never once thinks about God. He was too preoccupied. Just like so many today, too preoccupied with his business. And he had so much to think about that he had no time to think about God. Oh, I'll think about those things. Whenever we get this sorted out, I'll think about these things then. He had no time to think about God. No time to think about heaven or about hell. No time to think about where his soul was going to spend eternity. All he's interested in is his business. All he's interested in is his farming. That's what I find about farmers. My father can talk about nothing else, only farming. If the grandchildren, the granddaughters bring a man home to see Granda, unless he's a farmer, there's silence. And if he's a farmer, well, I have a daughter, and she's going to this big fella from Ballybay. He's a Protestant, all right. And he does a bit of farming. And she says, "Dad, whenever I go to see Granny and Granda, I might as well not bother. I should send Clayton on his own. Because all he talks about at Clayton is about building. Building. And Clayton does a bit of building, a bit of farming, building cattle sheds. All he talks about is building cattle sheds and farming. And that's exactly what this man was doing. All he was thinking about was farming. Not thinking about God. Not thinking about eternity. I wonder, is there some businessman here tonight? Is there some farmer here tonight? And you're so busy the whole year round with your farming and with your business that you have no time to think about God or your soul or eternity. If so, man, let me say this. You're a fool. You could be dead and lost in a Christless hell before morning. What good will your riches be then? What good are your riches when you're dead and gone? Whose shall these things be then? But notice also the words or the language of this fool. In verses 18 and 19 he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will said to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man has no thought for God. Neither does he make any mention of God. It's all about himself. Six times he says, "This will I do. I. There's no room for God in his life. There's no room for God in his mind. No room for God in his mouth. There's no room for God in his conversation or his conduct. It's all about himself and what he is going to do. What about you? You could talk about business. You can talk about farming every hour of the day. But when's the last time you thought about God? When's the last time that you ever spoke about the Savior? When's the last time that you ever spoke the Savior's name other than in a swear word? And here you are tonight. You're not saved. And already, your feet could be standing. Who knows? Your feet could be standing in the portals of hell. In the doorway of hell. You could be standing at the edge of your own grave. Not saved. Friend, tonight, let me say to you, face up to the reality of the brevity of life. The reality of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. And get right with God. My believer, if there ever was any man or anyone who should know that there is a God in heaven, it's the farmer. The farmer who depends on God. The farmer who depends on nature, works with nature every day, he should know that there is a God in heaven. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." My, when the farmer's out in the field, if he only stopped for a moment and looked, he would know that there is a God. The wee poem which puts it so well. "There is a God, all nature cries. I see it painted on the skies. I see it in the flowering spring. I hear it when the birdlings sing. I see it in the flowering main. I see it on the fruitful plain. I see it stamped on hail and snow. I see it where the streamlets flow. I see it in the clouds that soar. I hear it when the thunders roar. I see it when the morning shines. I see it when the day declines. I see it on the mountain height. I see it in the smallest night. I see it everywhere abroad. I see and I know there is a God." Oh, I say to you this harvest time, look all around you. Look even at the fruit of the church. There is a God in heaven. There's a God with whom every one of us will have to do. And we will have to give an answer as to what we have done with Christ. What have you done with him tonight? If you were to stand before God, what have you done with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him or rejected him? The life he lived, what sort of a life are you living?
Is it a life without Christ? But then I want you to notice, secondly, the future that he had planned. This man had not enough room in his barns to store his harvest. And so in verses 18 and 19, let's read them again. He says, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, vast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." This man's first intention was to become greater and bigger. Well, there's something in farmers, isn't there? And they just want to have more ground. It's a disease, you know. But it's a disease that there's no cure for. There's something about farmers and just want to buy ground. You couldn't buy a vegetable plot off them. But they want to be bigger. They want to be greater. That's what this man here was. He says, "I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater." He was going to pull down his barns. He wasn't going to add a wee bit to it. He said, "I'm going to pull them down and I'm going to build greater ones." Notice this. This man and his intentions. He had no time for God in his present life. And he's not planning to bring God into his future life. He has still no time for God in all his thinking and in all his planning and all his intentions. He never once thinks about God or his soul or eternity. All he lives for is self and for time and for sin. No thought about salvation. I tell you, many are living like this man today. They're pulling down, they're building bigger, extending their business, their property, their homes, their farms. Now, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong about being prosperous. Nothing wrong about wanting to get a bit bigger. But they have no time for God in all of it. That's the problem. That's the problem. Mansions on earth, but no mansion in the glory, intending to stay forever. But the reality is they can't. There's not one of us can stay forever. They intend to stay forever, but they're not ready to go. Prepared to stay, but not prepared to die. I wonder, is that you tonight? You've worked hard, and the Lord has blessed you. And you intend to expand, maybe buy a bigger house or extend the business or extend the house, and maybe you plan to buy in more ground. I ask you, if like this rich and foolish farmer, if you have no future, and listen folks, there's tonight, there's people, and they have no future. They have no future. If you have no future, if you should stand before God tonight, are you ready? Are you saved? Think about that. Where do you intend? You have all your intentions for tomorrow and next week and what you're going to do over the winter. How you're going to expand everything. Where do you intend to spend eternity, in heaven or in hell? Before you do anything else, think about that and make sure you're right with God. Amen. Make your calling and election sure. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, friend, be in time, for we know not what a day will bring forth. His first intention was to become greater. Notice this man's second intention was to have a good time. In verse 19 he said, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. May eat and drink and be merry." Once he got his barns sorted out and rebuilt. Once he got the harvest all gathered in, he intended to have a good time to himself. And he was intending to live a worldly lifestyle. Wasn't going to live for God. Eating, drinking, enjoying himself. He was intending to please the lust of the flesh. But it was all to the cost of his soul. This man was prosperous. In fact, he was too prosperous for his own good. For when he had gathered up all that he had, there was no room for God in his plans. He was planning to leave God out of his life. Here's a man, he's planning to leave God out of his future. He had wealth, he had all that he needed, he thought. And he thought that he didn't need God, not now anyway. This man had wealth, he had everything. I can almost hear him saying, I don't need God. Not now anyway. There's men like that about. They have everything. You speak to them about God, I'll listen, son. I don't need God. Not now anyway. When I need him, I'll call for him. But not now. That's just like this farmer. I wonder, what are your intentions? What are you planning to do? Young person, maybe you're planning to go to university. Planning to get out of Fermanagh. Go to college or wherever. Planning to get a good job and earn a good wage. Have a good time. Tell me, have you any room for God and your intentions? Or is it like the hymn writer says, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Older person, you're not saved. Yet all you think about, all you plan for is business. You're planning how you're going to expand things. Intending to retire as soon as you can with as much as you can get. And that you're planning to enjoy the rest of whatever time you have. And to have a good time. Enjoy life. Whatever is left of it. You're going to enjoy it. You know you need to be saved. But as yet it's not in your plans. Maybe you're in your deathbed, you say. Man, you're a fool. If you can't be turned tonight, you're a fool. For you know not what a night will bring forth. You're intending to stay, but what if God comes? What if God calls? Have you made any plans? Have you made any preparation for eternity? Have you asked Christ to be your Savior? To cleanse you from your sin? Eternity. Eternity. Where will you spend eternity? There's the life that he lived, the future he had planned. Notice the death that he died. I want you to notice that his death was sudden. There was no deathbed, it was sudden. That night after he had examined his harvest and he had made all his plans, he went to bed as usual, I suppose. Got his supper, went up to bed. He had intended to get up the next morning and begin to work everything out as he intended. Begin to work everything out as he had planned. He had all down on paper. Now he was going to put it onto the ground. Went to bed. All this in his mind. That very same night, I don't know, but I'm just reading between the lines. Maybe he took some pain or whatever. But this man took one final breath. He was a young man, I think. He took one final breath. And he was gone forever. Plunged out into eternity. The harvest, he never gathered it in. Someone else did, but he didn't. I wonder, did they build the barns bigger? But I tell you something, he didn't. He neither built his barns nor gathered his crops. One breath, one sigh, He was gone. You can almost read his death notice in the paper. Died suddenly in his own residence on the farm. You can almost hear the people talking in the town saying, "Did you hear about Mr. Moneybags? He died suddenly last night." He was just telling me yesterday evening about the plans that he had made. He had a great harvest. He was a great farmer. He was going to pull down the barns. He was going to build greater ones. But he's dead. Died suddenly. Maybe someone whispers, he wasn't saved. Listen, sudden deaths are happening every day. An accident on the road, what an awful week it has been. Young people plunged out into eternity. Young lad from Oma, just heard today, he hadn't been drinking or partying or anything. That young man from Oma was just walking home from a friend's house. Someone else had been drinking. And they took his life. Sudden death. Little girl had only passed her test 6 weeks, I believe. Come around a corner. Sudden death. Another young man tonight. Someone else carried off. Sudden death, an accident on the road. An accident on the farm, a heart attack, a stroke. Sudden deaths happening all around us. Sudden death can come upon any one of us. For the saved, sudden death means sudden glory. For the unsaved, you know what it means? Sudden death means sudden damnation. If it should be sudden death for you, what does it mean? Glory or damnation? It was sudden. It was also unexpected. This man didn't expect to die. Not for a long time yet. He was young, for he talked about many years. He said that he had much goods laid up for many years. So he was a young man. He had to be fit, a fit young man, considering the work that he was planning to do. But even though he was young and even though he was fit, something just wasn't right. And suddenly and unexpectedly, this young man died. How many people think the same, that they have many years yet? Oh, they think they've many opportunities to get right with God. But unexpectedly, one morning, they feel something's not right, and it's not right. Sad news then follows. Oh, they're young, they're fit, they didn't expect this. But the news is real. The prognosis is deadly. Doctor, he looks at the scan, he reads the results, and he looks up, and he says, "I'm sorry." And a few weeks later, the papers say, after a short illness, unexpected. Accidents happen. The paper reads, "Died unexpectedly, the result of an accident." Tell me if death should meet you tonight, unexpectedly. Are you ready? This harvest time, are you saved? Are you gathered in? Or is it as Jeremiah 8 verse 20 says, the harvest is past, summer's ended. Oh, that's right tonight. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, folks. You're still not saved. An unexpected death has already led. It's not around your feet. You'll never see Christmas, maybe. Who knows? You need to get right with God. You need to repent and be saved. His death was sudden. It was unexpected. It was tragic. You know why it was tragic?
because he had left Christ out of his life. And he wasn't saved. The tragedy about his death was not that he was young. The tragedy about his death was that he wasn't saved. Every death is tragic. But I tell you something, the death of the unsaved, that is a real tragedy. A real tragedy. What about you tonight? You're young, you're fit. But are you saved? That's all that matters. Maybe you're wealthy, maybe you're prosperous. But are you saved? That's all that matters. A man's life consisteth not of the things that he hath. All that really matters is, are you saved? Are you? If not tonight, get right with God. Repent of your sin and by faith look to Christ. Ask him to cleanse you from your sin and to save your precious soul. Would you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word. Continue on with us now. Speak on to needy hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hymn 230. We'll sing the first two verses of the hymn, and we stand to sing. I'd like to thank God's servant for coming along tonight and preaching so faithfully in the gospel. And my friend, if the Lord has spoken to you tonight, and I believe he has, and you're still not saved, well, you make your peace with God tonight. You'd like to speak to the Reverend Abraham or myself. We're here as God's servants. And we'll be too glad to take the Bible down and to show you from God's word how you can be saved and how you can know it. But please don't leave the meeting tonight without making your peace with God. 230, the first two verses, will stand to sing. Let's all stand to sing.
Thank you.
Let us all unite our hearts together in prayer. The Lord's presence has been with us tonight. And I believe that God's servant has brought the word the Lord has laid upon his heart. Therefore, this word is for someone here this evening. Man looks on the outward appearance. God searches the heart. Young man, young woman, older person, how is it with your heart tonight? Are you walking with God? Are you saved? Are you trusting in Christ alone? Or are you living your life for tomorrow? Living your life for yourself, for the pleasures of this world. Listen, they only last for a season. Come to Christ tonight. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Because very soon the death angel will come. Very soon Jesus Christ will come again. Very soon eternity for you and me will come. That's why we need to get right with God. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word tonight, and we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for the preaching of the old-fashioned gospel. And Lord, we pray this evening as the voice of the man is silent now, the voice of the preacher is still. Lord, that you would work on in hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would move from heart to heart and from seat to seat. We pray for a Holy Ghost conviction and Holy Ghost conversion. We pray, Lord, for a moving of thy gracious Holy Spirit in our midst. We would cry, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. O God, we pray the fear of God might grip all of our hearts, that we might not live like the farmer. Even those of us who are saved, Lord, that we not live like the farmer, planning ahead without consulting God, planning ahead with no thought of what God thinks. O God, have mercy upon us. Bless us now, we pray thee. Separate us in your love. Keep your hand upon us, Lord. Bless us tomorrow in the Lord's day. And we pray, O God, that again the word of God will come with to our hearts with freshness and with conviction. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.